Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Yud Beis.
Okay.
Yosef
Ben
Hana and Miriam Badar. Okay. The learning that we do this morning will be Lenezech Nishmas Yosef Ben Hana and Miriam Badar. Today's daf is daf Yud Beis. It's a little bit unfair. Today is Kachim. So it's all Kachim today. From the beginning until the end. The tail end, we're going to leave the world of Kachim. But it's a little bit unfair because we had not much of an introduction. The Gemara doesn't prep us. The Gemara doesn't give us background information. Gemara just kind of throws us right into the world of Kachim. When we start Zvachim, so, you know, we'll get a little, it's like more of a more formal date, if you will. We'll get a little more adjusted. We'll get a little more acclimated to the whole world of Kachim. And today we're just kind of, we're there. We're right there in the world of Kachim. This won't last much longer. The first parak will end shortly. Second parak also another week of Tumas Mikdash VeKadoshav, and then finally the third parak is going to begin the actual Masechta of Shavuos. So, just a map, a little roadmap in terms of what's coming up ahead. Today's daf is really a continuation of yesterday's daf. Today's daf and yesterday's daf go hand in hand. So, of course, just a quick review of what we saw yesterday. Yesterday started with a statement of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, what if you have a carbon tamid at the end of the year that you no longer need? We learned yesterday that every year, annually, Beis HaMikdash always kept a surplus of animals for the carbon tamid. Two carbon tamids were bought daily, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. And just to make sure that, well, not just to make sure, but also they needed a bedika, they need an examination, so they always carry a surplus. We also learned yesterday that the carbons of every year have to be purchased with the monies of that year. Right? The fiscal year of the Beis HaMikdash was scheduled, right, from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until the last day of Adar. That was the beginning and the end of the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash, and those are absolutes, meaning that you have to operate the Beis HaMikdash based on that particular fiscal year. So if you have an operating budget for that year, all the karbanos of that year must be used with the money, the revenue of that year. You cannot use the revenue of a previous year to buy karbans of this year. You cannot use revenue of a year ahead for this year. Revenue for this year must be paid. Sorry, karbanos of this year must be paid with all revenue of this year. When we talk about revenue in the Beis HaMikdash, we're talking about the machatzis ha-shekel. The machatzis ha-shekel, the half shekel that's collected from every Jew. The Masechta Shkolim is dedicated to that topic. So that was the revenue that generated the money for the carbon tamid and for all the carbon of Sibor, and not just the carbon Sibor, but all temple upkeep as well. Right? So all Beis HaMikdash needs is based on the collection of the Machatzis HaShekel. Okay. Yeshivas, by the way, don't have that minhag. They use next year's money, and the money, and even 2 years ahead money in order to pay for now. Okay, I had to get that in. It wasn't absolutely necessary, but it's okay.
Free day.
Okay. Yeah, I know. Now it's on tape also. All right. So what happens now? You're at the end of the year, so now you're like at the last days of Adar, and there are leftover carbon tamids. So what are you going to do with those carbon tamids? Okay? So, and the problem is, I can't offer them on the first day of Nisan, because the first day of Nisan, I need to offer a carbon that was purchased with new money, not old money. So what do I do with those animals? Okay, so Rav Yochanan comes along with the simplest of solutions. Redeem them. No problem. Redeem them. Okay, so they have their carbon. They're an animal that has kedusha. So just simply redeem the kedusha. Okay, plain and simple. Even if they're tamim, even if they're not blemished. That is the opinion of Rav Yochanan. So when Rav Yochanan first made the statement, the reaction to that statement was, no, you got to be kidding me. Like, no, that can't possibly be. And the reason why there was such a strong reaction to that statement is because, look, when I sanctify, when I consecrate any objects, a desk, a pencil, a book, so when I consecrate those items, I'm consecrating really for its value. The Beis HaMikdash is not interested in a desk, they're just interested in value. So that's what's called Kedushas Damim. So that's redeemable, right? That's the whole point, actually, of being Makdash it, is so that the Beis HaMikdash redeems it. Fine. But when you're talking about a carbon has a much deeper level of Kedusha. It has what's called Kedusha Saguf. It's intrinsically sanctified. And thus being intrinsically sanctified, you can't redeem it. That's the whole point of Kedusha Saguf. It's Kedusha Saguf. The Kedusha is is not extricable, if that's a word, from the animal. You can't extract it. Okay, so that was a hard reaction to the statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Gemara said, wait a second, we have a precedent in Mishnayos where you see that I have a carbon or a quasi-carbon that does in fact get redeemed. What example did the Gemara bring? Shkalim. From the Mishnah and Shkalim. Specifically the Ketores. What do you do with the leftover Ketores at the end of the year? At the end of the year, you would have a surplus of Ketores. Ketores is the incense that was burned in the Beis HaMikdash. You had at least 11 mana of extra Ketores at the end of a regular non-leap year. What do you do with that? So the Mishnah says, it's a little complicated, but the Mishnah basically says, redeem it. So you see, okay, good, Ketores you could redeem. All right. So the answer the Gemara gave yesterday on Daf Yud Aleph Amud Aleph, the critical answer, the key point of the entire Gemara, was a statement made by Rabbah. Rabbah says, Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem. Beis Din stipulates, when they consecrate certain karbanos, they do so on condition. And they basically say, look, we're only consecrating this if we need it. But if we don't need it, so then the consecration does not take place. Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem. And then the Gemara yesterday went into a discussion of, when do we say this and when do we not say this? When does Beis Din make such a stipulation when consecrating their animals and when not? So by the carbon Talmid, they're going to do it. Because you know at the end of every year there's going to be a surplus. So therefore, when they consecrate the animal, the carbon Talmid, so the animals for the carbon Talmid, they do so with the stipulation. By the Ketores, same story. You know there's going to be surplus at the end of the year, so therefore its consecration is done al tanai, it's done with a stipulation. Another, when do we not do it? We don't do it for things that are totally unexpected. Like the Gemara in Yud Aleph Amud Beis said, what if we lose an animal, right? We had set aside a carbon chatas for Yom Kippur, and we lost it, right? So, and then we find, and we replace it, and we set up its replacement, and then we find the lost one afterwards. So what do we do with that lost animal? So according to Rabbah, okay, just redeem it. Right, lay Beis Din Masna Aleihem. Beis Din should maybe its consecration was conditional, and to that the Gemara says no, that's not shchiach, that's not common, meaning that's something that we did not anticipate, and so therefore Beis Din does not consecrate it on condition. Para Aduma was another example that we spoke about yesterday. It's the last thing we spoke about yesterday. Para Aduma, not that many Para Adumas out there, so it's certainly not. It's not common, it's not frequent, the Para Aduma. And when we consecrate the Para Aduma, certainly don't expect to find another Para Aduma. And yet we learned in the Mishnah and Para, that if you find a better Para Aduma, you can redeem the original Para Aduma. If you find someone better than that. How can you redeem it? What are we talking about? How can you redeem it? So the Gemara says, okay, I know how. Because when it was consecrated on condition. Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem. So to that, the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. It's not something which you expected. You didn't expect to find another Para Aduma better than that. Why, when Beis Din consecrated it, why do we say Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem? And to that, the Gemara's answer was, Damim Yikarim. The Para Aduma is a very expensive piece of animal. And so, in consideration of the fact that we're talking about a lot of money, and we don't want to lose all that money, so therefore, Beis Din will only consecrate it al tanai on condition because of how expensive an animal it is.
Could have been used for Ketores also. Ketores is very expensive.
Yeah. Right. The same argument could have been used by Ketores as well. Right. Fine. Okay. And that was yesterday. Ketores, you have a overarching issue, and you know it's going to happen. You know you're going to end up with a surplus. Okay, that is yesterday in a nutshell. Okay, so let's move on. In the Gemara, we're found now in the middle of Yud Aleph Amud Beis. We're in the middle of 11b, and we're just finished with the Gemara's answer by the Para Aduma Elashani Para Hol V'damim Yikarim. We're a little bit lower in the middle of the page. First word in the line is Hoel, and we're starting this morning with the words Amar Mar. Okay, Amar Mar Mesa Tipadeh. If the Paraduma dies, So you redeem it, right? That's what we learned yesterday in the Mishnah. Now, when we say the paraduma dies, we're talking about a scenario where it died without a shechita, right? Obviously, it just croaked. It just it died. It's something nobody wanted, but it just died on its own. So that now means that what we're looking at right now is a nevela. It's a carcass. Okay, what do you do with a carcass of an animal? Well, we can't eat it because it's a nevela. So the only thing we could do is basically cut it up and feed it to the dogs, right? That's all it's good for. So the Gemara says, look, by a regular nevela, that's fine. You just cut it up and you feed it to the dogs. So the Gemara says, I don't really follow. Now, we're not talking about just a regular animal. We're talking about something that once was the paraduma. And now it died. So you're telling me, oh, we can redeem it. For what purpose are we redeeming it? We're redeeming it so that we can feed it to the dogs? Generally speaking, that's not how we like to treat our kachim. We don't like to treat, even though right now, we're not going to use it as a paraduma, understood. But in respect, due to the respect that we should have to the fact that it once was a paraduma, we're now going to go and just simply redeem it so we can feed it to the dogs? Amar of Misharshi, Mishum Ora, Mishum Ora, period. So Misharshi says, yeah, meaning you're right. The meat's going to be fed to the dogs. That's not so respectful. However, there's also hide. And the hide is going to be used by human beings, by us. So for the hide, it's worth it. Even though you're right, the meat is going to be given to the dogs, but we're going to be able to use the hide. They come in basin or masno adaita dara. So the Gemara says, really? That's going to be justification to redeem it just so that we could use the hide? So Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Inshi, Migamala Una. So the Gemara says basically yes. From the camel, Una, it's ear, right? When you're talking about the hide of these types of animals, it's valuable. Even the ear of a camel, which is not a lot of hide, it's not a lot of leather, but even that has value to it. Here you're talking about an entire cow where basically you could use all of its hide. It's worth it. Yes, go ahead and redeem it so that we can benefit from the hide. Okay, fine. Now, as to the question, why are we discussing this? Well, like, why are we here? Meaning, we got blindsided. We're in the middle of Shavuos. We're in the middle of the first parak of Shavuos. And all of a sudden now we're having a discussion of, well, when I have my leftover carbon tamid, what do I do with the carbon tamid? Oh, I redeem it because lay base the mas na'alehim. Why are we here? So the answer to that question is that, well, because we have our Mishnah. And our Mishnah, where the Gemara now is going to quote a line of our Mishnah, which will support or challenge this position of Rabbi Yochanan, Eisvei. So the Gemara challenges based on the Mishnah, none other than our very own Mishnah here in Shavuos. Amar lo Rabbi Shimon, Mashi Kravu Ze Bezeh. Amar lohu Yikravu. Amar lo Holvein Kaparasan Shava, Heich Hein Kraven. Amar lahen Kulam Baim Lechaper Al Tumas Mikdash Vikadashav. Period. Okay? That is a quote of our Mishnah. A little review of the Mishnah. We get a little, we get a chance of chazara. Okay? Over the course of the year, we bring a carbon chatas, we bring it on Rosh Chodesh, we bring it on Yom Kippur. We have a chatas on Yom Kippur that goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We have a chatas on Yom Kippur that's brought in the Adam Mizbeach. We have carbon chatas brought in every yontif, a carbon chatas. The seir brought for a chatas. What are the purposes of these carbon chatas? They provide some sort of atonement. So Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah said, well, they basically all atone for the same thing. Rabbi Meir in our Mishnah was of the opinion that every seir, the kapara is going to be the same. Tumas mikdash v'kadashav. That is the opinion of Rabbi Meir back in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah brought in the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, no. The seir of Rosh Chodesh is a kapara for somebody who's tahor, who eats tumah by accident, right? In a state of unawareness. That of yontev is mechaper, she'en ba yidia lo b'tchila v'lo b'sof, for somebody who went into the base of Mikdash not knowing that he was tamei, not knowing that it was prohibited, not realizing afterwards. What about the Yom Kippur, meaning the outer chatas on Yom Kippur, mechaper al she'en ba yidia b'tchila v'lo yesh ba yidia b'sof, didn't know beforehand that there was this prohibition of going to the base of Mikdash while tamei, but learned afterwards. Okay, so according to Rabbi Shimon, each one of the carbon chatzis that are brought during the year serves as a different form of kapara. Okay? That's Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah. Amru lo. Now we're reviewing back the Mishnah. So they said to Rabbi Shimon, Mashi kravu zebazeh. Well, let me ask you this question. You lost your carbon chatas of Rosh Chodesh. Okay? And so you replaced it. And then you found it again. And let's say we're talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay? Can you bring that chatas now on Pesach? Right? Are you telling me that you can bring on Pesach? So Amar Lahem, so Rabbi Shimon said in response, Yikravu, sure, no problem. Amru lo, so they say to Rabbi Shimon, what? Hold the ain kaparas and shava, hech craven zebazeh. How can you do that? It's not the same type of kapara. According to you, Rabbi Shimon, each chatas represents a different type of kapara. So how can you bring your Rosh Chodesh chatas on Pesach? It's not the same. And his response to them was, you're being too specific. Look at the generality. Generally, what's its purpose? Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. Yes, it's true. The Rosh Chodesh Chatas is for a slightly different form of it. But it's all basically the same thing, Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav. Good. That is the give and take in the Mishnah. Now let's go to our Gemara. So the Gemara says, now, wait a second. Here we have a carbon chatas. Carbon chatas, why don't we give the Rabba approach? The Rabba approach is lay beis din masna lehem, which is every time beis din, the Kohanim, consecrate a communal offering, they do so on condition. The condition is if we need it, great, and if we don't need it, so then the Kedusha is going to go away. So over here, I had a chatas, I lost it, I replaced it with another one. Turns out now I didn't need it. So why don't we just simply say, redeem it?
Yeah, but we discussed this before, and we said that this wasn't a common occurrence, so it wouldn't be it wasn't something that the government would consider.
Right.
We discussed
it. Right, correct. So that's, right, so already, Tosus raises your issue, right? The bottom toast is on the page. Right. Right. Look at the bottom toast. Right? Excellent point. Rabbi Shimon in Leif Lele Beitha Masna Lame, Velo Matzel Shnuye Avunim Shani, De Avunim De Lael, Vade Lo Shchicha, Din Izharn Le Shamram Bi Yoser, Lefi Shikdusha Samaruba, Shedamam Nichnas Lefnai Vlefnim. Tosos tries to make a distinction between this type of loss versus the other one. The other one is so uncommon because the other one we're talking about the chatzas of Yom Kippur. Like, no one's really going to lose that. And meanwhile, somebody did. and over here, the avudin is a chatzas of Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, it's not as infrequent. Or Tosa says, look, over there we were talking about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is once a year. Here we're talking about Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov. It's more frequent and it's more common. I know it's not exciting way of distinguishing, but you're right. In other words, your question is an excellent question. Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, okay, so again, let's set ourselves up. Why don't we just simply redeem it? So you lost your chatas of Rosh Chodesh. Why are you talking about offering it on Pesach? Just redeem it. Lev beis din masna lehem. So the Gemara's answer is, Rabbi Shimon kamar, Rabbi Shimon leis lev beis din masna lehem. Oh, okay, fine. So the Gemara now basically takes us into a world of, it's a machlokas tanayim. This concept of when beis din consecrates, they do so on condition, is now subject to a machlokas tanayim. Well, we'll see for the remainder of today that Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to this idea. It's only the Chachamim who subscribe to this idea. Which Chachamim is it? The Gemara is going to ask later on. But Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to this idea. And so therefore, every time you have a carbon that you don't need, according to Rabbi Shimon, redeeming it is not going to be an option. That's why in our Mishnah, okay, it does make our Mishnah make a lot of sense. That's why in our Mishnah, I have a carbon chatas, I didn't need it, and then they're asking Rabbi Shimon, look, we know you don't redeem things. We know that. So now what are you going to do? So Rabbi Shimon says, okay, I'll just offer it the next available time. The next Rosh Chodesh will offer it. Or I even think you can offer it on the next Yom Tov, right, for your chatas of the regalim. I'm fine with that. That doesn't bother me. But for him, redeeming is not an option because he doesn't hold of this concept of lay based on Masna Lehem. De Amar Avidi Barav and Amar Rav Amram, Amar Rav Yochanan, Timinim Shlahutzer Chulatzibor, Ledive Rabbi Shimon, Ein Niftin Timimin, Ledive Chachamim Niftin Timimin. Fine. Gemara sets it up perfectly. It's a machlokus tanaim whether or not this concept of lay based on Masna Alehem. Rabban de Plig Aled de Rabbi Shimon, Man Ninhu. So now the Gemara asks the question, who argue with Rabbi Shimon? Meaning, we know that there's this concept of lay based on Masna Alehem. We know that Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to it. Fine. But we know that there's this concept and we know that there are Tanaim who hold of it. Can we point our fingers at any Tana in particular and say, oh yeah, he holds of it. Oh yeah, he holds of it. So, what do you mean? That was yesterday's daf in its entirety. So can we point fingers? Sure, we can point fingers. Enema Rabbanan de Ketores. So let's point our first finger. You know what? The Mishnah Shkalim that talks about rolling over the Ketores from 1 year to the next year. So how do we do it? We redeem the Ketores. How can you redeem Ketores? Right? Okay. Lay Basin Masna Lehem. Because Basin, when they consecrated it, did so conditionally. So when I'm going to point my first finger at that Mishnah Shkalim. Clearly, that Mishnah Shkalim subscribes to the concept of lay based in Masna Lehem. The Gemara deflects. We're now on the top of Yud Beis Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Shani Ketores de lo bar ra'aya hi. I don't know, says the Gemara. Ketores is not a good example. Because by Ketores, you don't have an option. By animals, there is an option. What's your option by animals? Allow it to get a blemish. Even according to Rabbi Shimon, even though he subscribes to the idea that we don't consecrate on condition. When it's consecrated, that's it. Period. End of discussion. But even according to Rabbi Shimon, if it develops a blemish and it's no longer fit to be brought on the Mizbeach, you can redeem it. By Ketores, you don't have that option. So it could very well be that Mishnah Shkalim about Ketores, maybe that's also Rabbi Shimon, simply because there's no other option. Okay, fine. So that's no good. Ela Rabbanan de Parah. Well, maybe it's the Mishnah Parah. We learned yesterday, right? We went over the beginning of this morning. Parah Duma, if you find a better one, you could redeem the original Parah Duma. How are you redeeming the original Parah Duma? Answer, Lev Basin Masna Lehem. Basin, when they consecrated, did so conditionally. Good. So that's it. Wait just 1 second. So that's another Mishnah that clearly holds to this concept of lay based in. So why can we point our finger at that Mishnah? So the Gemara says, nah, I know. The Gemara says, maybe even Rabbi Shimon over here would agree in this case because the Paraduma is so expensive, it's so fantastically expensive, that Rabbi Shimon would say, you know what? In this one particular case, we'll consecrate on condition.
How would Rav Shimon deal with the Ketores? How would he deal with the original Ketores?
How would Rabbi Shimon deal with the? So now the Gemara says that the Gemara just said that the Ketores may be fundamentally different. Since there's
but how would he deal with it? He would say he could go ahead.
He would also, in other words, he would agree, roll it over, like the Mishnah Shkalim says.
Based on the principle of Rav.
Based on the principle of Lev Beit.
Because he holds to this case.
In that particular case, he would have to agree because there's nothing else he could do. You don't have another option. By a carbon, you do have the option of letting it sit there and wait for it to develop a blemish. It's not an exciting option, but at least it's an option.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
You know, we had, like a long time ago, we had this whole principle that anytime you're dealing with financial issues, we always try to give the Beit Din the upper hand in financial issues.
Right.
Charging people. So why don't we go by that principle in terms of trying to save Beit Din money? Why wouldn't that be like an overarching principle in terms of...
Right, because I guess this idea, I mean, it, This idea of lev beis and masna leim, that beis and when they consecrate, they do so conditionally, right? Let's take it from Rabbi Shimon's standpoint. He doesn't like it. In other words, he doesn't like the whole concept that when beis din says, you know, this is going to be an animal dedicated to God, but you know, disclaimer, proviso, right? He doesn't buy into the whole concept. So under certain extenuating circumstances, like the paraduma and the ketoreh, so like there, okay, I'm stuck. I have no choice. But like by a regular karban, he just doesn't like it. He's not excited by that idea. Either you consecrate it or you don't consecrate it. You know, the conditional is like, you know, it's, I guess it's just for him, just not the right approach in terms of how to give something kedusha. Okay. Ve'ela rabbanan da'amru lay mimai, I'm sorry. Ve'ela rabbanan da'amru lo. Okay. So we're still trying to figure out. Is there some Mishnah out there that clearly demonstrates that they don't hold the Rabbi Shimon? So maybe, let's go back to our Mishnah, it's the group of people who are talking to Rabbi Shimon. Right? The group of people talking to Rabbi Shimon, they say to Rabbi Shimon, you know Rabbi Shimon, how are you going to offer a carbon from one Rosh Chodesh to Yontif? Or from Yontif to Rosh Chodesh? How are you going to do that? So, Mimai de Rabbi Yehuda Hiva Hachi Kamerlei, Bishlam Lididi Damin Alei Beitha Masna Alei Mamat Alahachi Yikrivu. Look, the Gemara over here is injecting the dialogue into our Mishnah. And here's basically how the dialogue would go. Right? People saying to Rabbi Shimon, look, as far as I'm concerned, we don't need the Chatas of Rosh Chodesh. Let's say, for example, we lost it, we replaced it, and then we found it afterwards. Look, from my standpoint, redeem it. I hold Lev Beis and Masna Aleihem. So for me, it's not an issue. Ela lididcha, but according to you, Rabbi Shimon, damart lo, amai yikrivu. So, but according to you, Rabbi Shimon, who you don't hold of Lev Beis and Masna Aleihem, so what are you going to do? And his answer was, I'm not bothered. Just simply offer it on the next Yantav or offer it on the next Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, maybe that's the dialogue. If in fact that's the dialogue, now we don't see all that in the Mishnah. We're injecting the dialogue into the Mishnah. But if that's in fact the dialogue, so you see that the people who are talking to Rabbi Shimon subscribes to the idea of Lev Beis and Masna Aleihem. Fine. Wait one second. Dilma Rabbi Meiri. But the Gemara says, but you don't know if that's the dialogue. You know, the dialogue could be something else. It could go like this. Could be that the person talking to Rabbi Shimon is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir, back in our Mishnah, if you remember, says that every one of those chatases is a kapara for the same thing. And maybe the dialogue goes like this. Hachi kamer lahe. Bishlam lididida amina. Kol asirim kaparas mshaveh. I hold that every kapara is the same. Umishim hachi yikrevu. And therefore, if you lose your Rosh Chodesh chatas, no problem. Offer it on Yantif. If you lose your out of Yom Kippur Chatas, okay, it's bizarre, but not a problem. Offer next Rosh Chodesh. Because it's all the same kapara. But according to you, Rabbi Shimon, amai yikrivu, but why would you offer it? Because you don't agree with me. You think that they're different kaparas. At which point Rabbi Shimon's answer is, look, I don't look at the specific, I look at the generality, etc., etc. That could very well be the dialogue in our Mishnah. And so once again, we don't see in our Mishnah someone who absolutely holds Lev Beis and Masna Aleihem. Ella, Rav Yochanan Gemar Gemirla, L'divrei Rabbi Shimon Niftin, L'divrei Chachamim Niftin, period. So the Gemara says, you're right. I could deflect every one of the Mishnahs, the Mishnah of Ketores, the Mishnah of Paraduma, our Mishnah, in the first Mishnah in Shavuos. I could deflect all that. Rav Yochanan just simply has a tradition that this is a machlokus between the Tanakama, the Chachamim, and Rabbi Shimon. The Chachamim subscribe to this idea of Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem. When Beis Din consecrates their communal offerings, they do so on condition. And if not needed, you could just simply redeem it. And Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He disagrees with the whole concept of Lev Beis Din Masna Aleihem. Okay. Period. Just one point which I also find interesting is that if you really subscribe to this idea of Lev Beis and Masna Aleihem, the truth of the matter is you don't have to redeem the animal. Right? Meaning redemption of the animal would give an indication that it's holy, and here I am now, I'm redeeming its kedusha, right, by giving money. If you subscribe to Lev Beis Hamas Na'alayim, what does that mean? It means that when I consecrate, I do so on condition. If I don't eat it, so then I didn't consecrate it, right? So if you really subscribe to Lev Beis Hamas Na'alayim, truth be told, you don't need pigeon. You don't need to redeem it. The kedusha just never was there. Okay, so it is interesting. We do, right? It's just a point to consider that clearly the Gemara does not entertain this. The Gemara still maintains that you need to redeem it, even though it was kedusha just never was there to begin with.
Go back to my first question. Even the Chachamim themselves don't hold their limit or lost.
Right. Even they put a limit.
Why didn't you use the example of leftover like four? For the lambs, you know, with Rabbi Shimon in terms of applying this principle, like what would Rabbi Shimon do for those?
Right. So next question of the Gemara. Right. Okay. Good. Ola Rabbi Shimon. Good. Ola Rabbi Shimon. The life of Lev based the masna lamb my abdin lahu. Okay. So good. So now Rabbi Shimon doesn't like this whole concept of Lev based him. Good. So as you get to the end of the year, you have your carbon tamid surplus. You have four beautiful carbon tamids, and you can't use them. So according to the Chachamim, redeem them. Good. And Rav Yochanan clearly subscribes to the view of the Chachamim. Good. What if you're Rabbi Shimon? So what are you going to do with these animals if you're Rabbi Shimon? I'm Rav Yitzchak, I'm Rav Yochanan, Makitza Behem Esam Esbeach. So the Gemara says, offer them. Offer them as an Ola, just simply not the carbon tamid. Makitza Behem Esam Esbeach. An idea of Kitza Esbeach. When we get to Zvachim and Menachos and when we in Shkalim, this idea was discussed a lot. Ketzah Mizbeach is there's a dead season in the Beis Hamikdash, right? Right over here in Florida, we're in the middle of the summer, right? Nobody's here. Although I don't feel that way, I feel like everyone's here. I'm saying.
Thanks a lot.
I'm not talking about the daf. I'm surprised how many people still come in the daf in the middle of the summer. No, but I'm saying. But in general, like it's like you know, just it's quiet. It's quiet time around here. So the and in the Beis Hamikdash you had that as well, right? Around Yontif time, everyone's there. Everyone's going around, right? Karbanos left and right. People bringing the carbons for the Yontif, and also any of the voluntary carbons that they offered, that they pledged, they're going to have to bring all then as well. And the Mizbeach is hopping. And then there's times during the year, I guess like the middle of the summer, where like, no one's offering carbons on the Mizbeach. It's true, there's one in the morning and there's one in the afternoon, but that's it. It's kind of like, just like, nothing's going on. So, there was a fund in the Beis HaMikdash, where the proceeds of that fund were basically olas that were going to be brought on the Mizbeach. It's called Ketz HaMizbeach. The word Ketz we're going to learn later this afternoon. Afternoon? Where am I? Yeah, how long am I going today? Later this morning we're going to learn that the word Ketz HaMizbeach refers to like the dessert. It's like dessert for the Mizbeach. Right, kaviyachol, to the best of our understanding, and the best way we can conceptualize it, the mizbeach is God's eating, right? It's God's portion that He eats, and so during the season when not a lot of karbanos are being brought on the mizbeach, so they invested into this fund so that they would have a healthy dose of carbonolas that would be brought just for no reason other than ketz mizbeach, dessert for the mizbeach. So according to Rabbi Shimon, you know what I do with these surplus carbon tamids? I offer this ketz mizbeach. What's the big deal? Now, it is a chiddush. Think about it. It certainly is a chiddush because that's not what it was dedicated for. When it was consecrated as a carbon ola, specifically the carbon tamid. And here, we're kind of redirecting it a little bit. Instead of being a carbon tamid, we're just going to use it as ketz mizbeach. That doesn't satisfy any obligation. It's just simply more carbonate on the mizbeach, but it's more voluntary than it is obligatory. Let's say more definitively, it is voluntary. It's not obligatory. Okay, so it's a chiddush because it is a little bit of a redirection. But Rabbi Shimon says that's what I would do. Huh? I know it's right. It sounds like the word kites. That's why I connect the two, but it's not. It's not the same. The Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak and Moedah Rabbi Shimon Mesirich Chatzah Shem Mekitzim Begufan Ella B'Demehen. Okay, the Gemara now is going to get super technical. Even within the position of Rabbi Shimon, let's say I have the Seir Chatas, right? The goat that's supposed to be brought on Rosh Chodesh. Let's say Rosh Chodesh. Yeah, right, yeah. The goat that's supposed to be brought on Rosh Chodesh. And now let's say, turns out we didn't need it. Rashi gives the following example. Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay? I had a goat set aside for Rosh Chodesh Adar. I lost it. And now, I got its replacement. I offered its replacement. And I found the goat of Rosh Chodesh Adar. Okay? Now what? So again, if you hold of Lev Beis Damasna Aleihem, you're fine. Just redeem it. You'll be fine. But if you're Rabbi Shimon, what are you going to do with it? Okay? It's going to be a little bit tricky. Because now you get to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Okay, just offer it on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Oh, you can't do that. Because Rosh Chodesh Nisan is now the new fiscal year. And this animal was bought with last year's money. So you can't offer it on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So what are you going to do with it? Okay? So, Rabbi Shimon will tell you, She'ein mekitzin begufan, ela b'dmehem. So over here, Rabbi Shimon says you have no choice. You're going to have to let it develop a blemish, redeem it, and the proceeds of that redemption will go towards the Ketam Mizbeach. Hachahu demikara ola v'ashta ola. Avahasa demikara chatas v'ashta ola. The Gemara points out, look, it's not like what we were talking about earlier, whereby the Tamid, it's an ola. I'm redirecting a little bit. Over here, it's a chatas, and I'm redirecting it a lot. Meaning we're converting it from a chatas to an ola. So Rabbi Shimon says, you let it develop a blemish, redeem it, and take the proceeds and purchase a carbon ola.
For what year?
Well, it doesn't matter, because here it's Ndava. It's for the case of Mizbeach. So it's not an obligation. So we don't have to. We only have to worry about years when it comes to obligation. But this is not an obligation, so you don't have to worry about years. Gzeir la'achar kapara atu lifnei kapara. Now, the Gemara points out, principally, truth of the matter is, Rabbi Shimon would even allow you to offer this chatas as an ola for Ketam Mizbech. In principle, it would work. Now that's radical. Not radical. It's a bigger chiddush, but that would work according to Rabbi Shimon. It's just a rabbinic. It's a rabbinic concern that, well, what may end up happening is that the chatas that you're offering now is going to serve as a you offer as an ola after you were mechaper with the replacement, but then what may end up happening one time is that you may offer this chatas even before the replacement was offered. Meaning you may offer this chatas as an ola before you find the replacement, and that's untenable. Okay. Amar Abayafa Nami Tanina Parvisir Shol Yom Kippurim Shavzu V'Yifishach Krem Tachtehem. The Gemara is going to further advance this idea that according to Rabbi Shimon, who does not believe in Lev Beis Damasna Aleihem, who doesn't subscribe to it, so for him the only alternative is redirection. Meaning we'll take a carbon and we'll just simply redirect it. Let's take the following example. Parn Seir of Yom Kippur Shavdu V'Yifishach Krem Tachtehem. Your bull and your goat of Yom Kippur, you lost it, okay, and you got a replacement. V'chein tira avodah zara shavdu v'yifrishach ren tachtem. Kula yimus ediv Rav Yehuda. So from Rav Yehuda's standpoint, I have now a carbon chatas. Turns out I don't need it because I lost it and I replaced it, and now I found it again. So what do I do with it? So Rav Yehuda says, let it die. Good. Rav Elazar Rav Shimon Amrim yirach yistav aviyem kruvim plu demam l'ndava shein chatas sibor mesa. Rabbi Shimon, together with Rav Elazar, says, let it develop a blemish, and then redeem it. The Gemara says, V'amai nikrivu inugufayu ola. Why would you do that? Offer it as a carbon ola. El alav shema minag zer lachar kapara atu lifnei kapara. So again, in principle, it does work. According to Rabbi Shimon, a redirection like this would in principle work. Gzera, it's a rabbinic concern. This is a Mishnah in Yuma. This is dealing with a scenario where I lost one of my Seirim. I have the twin Seirim. I lost one of the Seirim, let's say after was selected. So I selected my Seirs, one La Azazel, one La Hashem. I lost the Seir La Hashem. Okay? We quipped the other day, that's bizarre. How how somebody could lose something like that, but they lost it, and now you got to get a replacement. Over here, it's a little more complicated because the replacement has to come via lottery. So in other words, I got to get two new animals, I got to then make a selection, and then from the one that I selected, LaHashem, that will be the replacement for the one lost, and I'm obviously going to have an extra. So what do I do with the extra? So the Mishnah in Yuma tells us, "Lo develop a blemish, redeem it, and use the proceeds of that redemption for nedava ketzem hizbeach v'amayikra v'yugufei ola." So the Gemara says, "Why do you do that? Why not just simply bring it as a carbon ola according to Rabbi Shimon, redirect it?" Same thing. It's a rabbinic concern. Ama Rabbi Nafa Nami Tanina. The Gemara hammers. Asham Shemesu Baalav Oshnis Kapru Baalav. You have a carbon asham. Asham is similar to a chatas. It's just that the Torah earmarks certain averas to the carbon asham. And with this carbon asham, let's say the owner of the asham dies, or let's say you lost the carbon asham and you got a replacement, and you find the original carbon asham. And now what do you do with it? Yirashi Yistavi Yimakavi Plun Damav L'Nadava. Rav Elazar Omer Yamus, Rabbi Yehoshua Omer Yavi B'dmav Ola V'Likarev. So there are three Tanaitic opinions in terms of what you do with it. So Hagufa Ola. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. An Asham, and doesn't an Asham basically convert into an Ola? So the Gemara says again, same thing. Yes, an asham can be redirected into an ola if it's no longer needed as a carbon asham. That's true, but over here it's a rabbinic concern. So therefore, you wait and develop until it develops a blemish. Okay. Tanya Namihachi, another brisa. Mahin mevi'en min ha-mosaros. What do you do with the leftover carbon zebra at the end of the year? Kates. You offer it as dessert, kivnos shuach lemizbeach, like figs for the mizbeach. Now the Gemara. Now when we say like figs, it's an analogy, right? It's metaphor. The Gemara doesn't mean that you put figs on the mizbeach. In fact, the Gemara points out v'haksiv ki kolso or v'chol devash. You're not allowed to put dates and all fruits of the tree on the mizbeach. That's just, the mizbeach does not go for the fruit. The mizbeach goes simply for the meat. Well, that's not true. You do pour wine. You pour wine on the mizbeach as well, but that's nesachim. But as far as, you don't put fruit on the mizbeach. So when the b'raisa says, kivno shuach, like figs, it's not literally. Tani Rav Chanina, kivno shuach la'adam. Yeah, it means, just like at the end of a meal, what do we get for our dessert? So we get figs, right? We all get figs for dessert. Okay, I like figs. So just like we have figs for dessert, so this idea of cates is like dessert for the base of, for the mizbeach. All right, fine. One more point about this concept of dessert. Darsh Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista, ein mekitzin beolas haof. You don't use birds, meaning a bird cannot be used as your ketz hamizbeach. It's got to be animals. Has to be animals. I'm a Rava Haburcha. So Rava says, is this like some sort of joke? Like, really? What? I'm a Rav Nachman Yitzchak LeRava. My Burchasa. Anam Risa Nehala Mishmei Rav Shimi Minarada. Am Risa. What do you mean? It's not a joke at all. Am Risa Nehala. Da Am Rav Shimi Minarada. Mosos LeNadav at Sibor. Azli Ve'ein Olas Of Betzibor. Yeah, absolutely. So in fact, the conceptually, it makes perfect sense. Because when do I redirect something as an adava? Only when the community didn't need it. Well, by a communal offering, it only comes from animals. There is no communal offering that comes from birds. Birds never are offered as communal offerings. If you think about it, and you go through the lexicon of Karbanos, you realize you're right. Birds only come from individuals. Birds never come as a communal offering. So therefore, birds can simply not be brought as a ketz nedava. Okay. The Av Shmuel Savala Lahad Rav Yochanan, Dam Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the right? Shmuel also subscribes to this idea as well. Specifically, what idea? The idea that, according to Rabbi Shimon, who doesn't hold of lay based amasna alayhim, so what do you do at the end of the year with those karbanot that are extra? Redirect it to Ketzam Ezbeach. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel karbanot sibar sakin mosh chasan lemashehin. You cut it with the knife. Take the carbine, you cut it with the knife, and the knife redirects. Meaning that it's true, it was originally established to be a carbon tamid, but now it's the end of the year, and now I can't bring it in the next year because next year is new. Is not this year. So what do? I shecht it, and the knife redirects it. So instead of being a carbon tamid, it's now olas nedava, and that works according to Rabbi Shimon. Okay, Tanya Nami Hachi, a little bit more about this. Moed Rabbi Shimon Sir Shim Lo Kara Beregel Yikra Berosh Chodesh. Vim Lo Kara Berosh Chodesh Yikra B'Yom Kippurim. Vim Lo Kara B'Yom Kippurim Yikra Beregel. Vim Lo Kara Beregel Zeh Yikra Beregel Acher. Shem Mitchilas Lo Ba Ela Lechaper Amizbeach Hachitzon. Fine. So you see this idea of redirection. According to Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon subscribes to this idea of general redirection. Okay, good. And that ends the sugya. Okay? So quickly, let's just summarize over here, right, the basic idea. Okay? It started all the way back on Daf Yud Amud Beis. The sugya is a two-blot sugya. It started off with a statement by Rabbi Yochanan that if you have a carbon tumen at the end of the year that you don't need, you just simply redeem it. Even if it's not blemished? Yeah, even if it's not blemished. Why? Rav Yochanan subscribes to this idea of lev based amasna lehem, that when based and consecrates animals, and they know that there will be some animals that they're not going to need, so the consecration is done, al tanai, with stipulation. Okay, this is a statement made by Rav Yochanan. It's fortified by a Mishnah in Shkalim, a Mishnah in Para, and seems to be supported also by our first Mishnah in Shavuos. Seems to be supported by that as well, but not convincingly. Against that position is the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to the idea of lev based amasna lehem. We discussed over the course of this morning, he may give in a little bit, Rabbi Shimon, like by the Ketores, for example, he may give in and say that, look, we have no choice. And it's there's nothing else you could do with the Ketores. So maybe he would concede lev based amasna lehem. The Gemara entertained that maybe he'll concede by Parah Aduma as well, because it's so costly. So that maybe there also he would concede as well. But in principle, he disagrees with the whole concept of lev based amasna lehem. Then the Gemara says, according to Rabbi Shimon, what happens with all the carbon tamids that you don't need at the end of the year? And then basically we spent the rest of this morning discussing, according to Rabbi Shimon, the concept of redirection. Where I could take a carbon tamid, which is essentially an ola, it is an ola, and at the end of the year, just simply offer it as olas nedava. Ketzam mizbeach, dessert for the mizbeach. Not as an obligation, but just simply as a voluntary offering to keep sustaining the mizbeach, to give, you know, a little dessert, so to say, to the mizbeach. And then we also talked about, according to Rabbi Shimon, in principle, redirection works on a grand level. You can redirect an asham into an ola. You can even redirect a chata sibor into an ola, but there, as out of rabbinic concern, the rabbis did not allow it. But in principle, Rabbi Shimon says that you can do as well. Okay. That's a nutshell. I know this morning was like all kachim, all the time. But that's basically in a nutshell. The Rambam, when he brings all this down, he subscribes to the Rav Yochanan, the Chachamim, lay based the Masna Alayim, not the Rav Shimon view. Rav Shimon is a singular view, but right, not the Rambam does not adopt that particular view. Yeah, we assume. Okay, good. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow is a new topic, new discussion. Tomorrow on Shabbat, we get to talk a lot about Tshuva and Yom Kippur. Right? That's new topic of discussion to finish up the first parak of Shavuos.